That's how we have to start everyone now. That song just got me.
Little torque.
Yeah, I'm half chub.
Yeah, I'm half. I think I'm like, I don't know, 5'8".
That's fair.
5'8".
5'8" is pretty good.
So you feel like you're not waiting for it to go away, but you're not waiting to go full math.
Dad is not with us.
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it, though.
Same here. So I just want to hear about his karaoke. Like
my
karaoke song.
Yeah. Learned my go-to karaoke song.
But
100% Rich Girl by
Hall
& Oates.
I can faintly hear him. Maybe not. No.
Everyone in the barn knows it. Or at least some of it.
I'm all alone
it's
now.
It's very easy to sing. And like everyone could clap along and dance with it. I think it's like just a fantastic one. But I guess I have the Tiger could be too.
Guys.
Gotcha. Dan, can you not hear us?
No.
Well, you just answered me.
Well, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, we also was talking the whole time. You just like interrupting him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't hear Dan.
I don't hear him. I hear you. I don't hear him. This is fucking hilarious. You must be talking right now. I can't hear you.
I mean, all right, I'm talking. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
I can hear you.
Okay, Austin, you go.
Hello.
Can you hear that, Dan?
No, that's fucking no. Let's keep it going, Dan. You're the conduit. Let's
I'm like
go.
The, I'm the mediator right now. Like, I need to like make sure you guys don't talk over each other.
This could be some sort of weird like team building team exercise.
It's gonna be tough because you guys are just gonna have to know when to talk and when not to talk.
All right, Dan. I won't say anything for the next 6 minutes.
I heard that too.
Did you actually know? Yeah, I can't tell. Oh. Austin said he wasn't going to talk for 6 minutes.
So oh, good.
That's all you, Dan. All right. So, I mean, we'll see if this keeps happening. We can try stop here. I'm going to stop recording and we'll try starting again and see if that helps. All right. So, I mean, someone's got to get fired, though. We pay big money for this podcast. I mean, we invested a lot into it. And
seriously.
Now we can even hear each other.
This is horseshit.
Do we have, like, a guy that, like, occasionally pitches in with some bullshit stat? Like, I feel all these podcasts do. Can we fire him?
Yeah. That's Moya. That's Moya.
Dan Bryant. Yeah. Fuck him.
Dan Bryant doesn't come with stats. He just comes with, like, just nonsense.
Straight nonsense about the Jets.
Yeah. We talk about the Jets, and then he'll just, like, make some random noise. Last week's episode, Dan, with Dan Bryant was hysterical. It was great, and I'm still working on editing it down. But it was so tough because we had like 4 different recordings because he kept cutting out the whole time.
Oh, my God. Is he on the Hobart freaking Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bastards.
It's crazy.
So I need to know
afford anything better.
What are your go-to karaoke songs?
Dude, I've only karaoke'd once in my life and – could not. I mean, Sweet Caroline.
Okay, it's a fucking classic.
Yeah,
it's a
good one. I mean, that's the most like cliche one, but easy. And everyone, the best thing about karaoke songs is you need to pick a song that everyone will sing so no one realizes how bad you are at singing. Dan Moore, you're out of the discussion because you can actually sing kind of. But like Austin and I being tone deaf, we need some, you know, help.
And that's why I picked Hall & Oates. Everyone knows the chorus of Rich Girl.
Okay.
I think it's a no-brainer. And if you don't know the chorus, you at least kind of have an idea what the fuck it goes like.
I feel like it's like, you're a rich girl. Dun, 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 dun. Like, everyone just starts doing that.
Yeah, if everyone that that does, you don't have to actually fucking sing.
That's right. Yeah. So I'd say Piano Man.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But
everyone gets there.
Is that more relevant in the state of New York than others? Like, is the Piano Man going to get the same reception in Newark, Delaware than it is in the greater New York City area?
Who the fuck cares? That's my answer.
Enough, but the thing
only karaoke in New York City, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't know that song, Dan doesn't want karaoke with you.
You're damn fucking right.
One of the only memories I have of Austin singing is when he got on stage at Relay and belted, I think it was Coldplay, wasn't it?
Little Lion Man.
Little Lion Man.
Okay.
With Danny Moore at 1:30 in the morning.
Right. Legendary. That's going down to MTV Records, man.
Yep. Geneseo history up there in Kid Cudi.
You should open for him.
Me, Tiny Tempa, and Scott Miss Cudi, the big three.
Scott Miss Cudi. Yeah. Jesus. All right. So where do we want to start? This was kind of a slow week in sports. I mean, slow week meaning not like a bunch of headlines, but ton going on between best time in sports. I think we could start there. This is the best time in sports all year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I mean, obviously you got the big ones that you talk about, you know, baseball started. So everyone's so hyped about baseball starting. Only, you know, 150 games left in the season. So it's getting down there, crunch time. NBA playoffs, so it's the time that the NBA season actually starts as well, and people actually start caring about the NBA because the players start trying. NHL hockey playoffs, best playoffs, you know, arguably of all the major sports. So that's exciting. Then for soccer, Champions League finals, all the tables are coming to an end, so you're finding out who your cup winners are, and then you got UEFA Champions League, you know, coming down to the end too, the, you know, biggest tournament outside probably the World Cup. So I mean, so much going on. Just not a lot of like headlines. Last week we had a lot more headlines and like stuff to joke about, but you know, this one's kind of a, I was just talking about the games, I guess, right?
Yeah. No more baseball fights. So it was dull in that regard. None of that.
Oh shit. I missed those talks.
Dude, those are baseball fights. Great fight. Yeah. Yeah. Dan, you know, cause we should talk to you. So why don't you, we'll give you 5 minutes of fame right now. Like, what'd you think of the fights last week, 2 weeks
ago? If you give me 5 minutes, can we just be pure silence so I can embarrass you?
So that's the best kind of podcasting is when no one talks.
Honestly, I don't remember what happened in any of them. Don't remember any of the teams, but I remember watching them and they're hilarious because I love baseball fights. So I don't have much to say about them, especially considering I don't think I can talk 5 minutes about sports at all anyway. So
fair. All right. So I guess let's start with the NHL. We all like hockey the best anyways. And it's the best one. My pick to get to the finals just swept the LA Kings. So Vegas, you know, getting four up, four down. I think that's awesome. I'm a big Vegas guy, ride in the train, want to see him win it.
You think they can go the distance?
I mean, I picked them as like the feel good story. I think Nashville is a better team, but honestly, I think, you know, Nashville and Vegas, I think they have arguably two of the best home fans and two of the best barns to play in, and they're both gonna have such an advantage. And then when they play each other, if they do, which I hope they do, those games, I think it will go to seven, are gonna just be unbelievable. Like the atmosphere, watching them, so great. So yeah, I'm riding. I hate to say they're an underdog because they're a one seed, but
they are.
I love the expansion. I love that all these players are guys that other teams they obviously wanted, but they didn't. They weren't one of the best players on those teams, according to those teams. So I love to see them like come together and just have a great season, and then take the LA Kings, who are a good team, and just sweep them.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's a, like you said, it's a feel good story, and like the chances of it happening. You have like Marc-Andre Fleury, who had the best year, arguably his life or his career. You had a whole bunch of players that again were like average on their teams, that just the stars aligned for them. And so they came in, yeah, one seed, but no one expected them to go into the playoffs with, I mean, these are somewhat veteran guys, but I mean, them as a team is their first year playing together, and they're the first team to sweep a playoff series in their inaugural season. So it's pretty crazy. I don't think they're going to go to the, I don't think they're going to go to the cup. I think either Nashville or Winnipeg are going to go to the Western Conference Finals, or I should say the come out of the West, but it'd be great to see them out of there.
I think I was hardcore on the Predators train a week ago, and I think I'm still kind of there, but I do think this potential Winnipeg Jet Nashville Predator series will be one of the best series in recent memory. These two teams are firing on all cylinders now. Watch. Now Nashville's going to lose three straight to the Avs, and I'm going to sound like a dumbass. But I think your Conn Smythe winner right now is Patrick Laine, the 19-year-old absolute phenom from Finland who's playing right wing for the Jets. I think he's exciting. I think he's the next Steven Stamkos, and I think they're going to ride this guy past Nashville. And that's my newest hot take. That my the Winnipeg Jets are going to win the West and challenge one of these also very hot teams of Boston, Tampa Bay in the East. So I think the Jets, even though obviously the Knights look very impressive against LA, LA also couldn't score, and that could have a lot to do with Marc-Andre Fleury. But I think the Winnipeg Jets are hot enough to ride this thing out.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going up against much in the Ducks or the Sharks, to be honest with you. I think Vegas has a very, well, again, NHL playoffs, anything can happen, but I don't think they're playing the Kings. I think the Kings are a better team, even though they're a lower seed than the Ducks and the Sharks. I don't think they'll have as much of even a problem. I don't think they'll sweep the team, but I think they'll go to the Western Conference Finals. But I do agree with you. I think whoever wins that, Nashville, Winnipeg, and again, I'm assuming they win those series, but they should. Mm-hmm. But with Patrick Laine, I mean, he is unbelievable. And especially like the fact that he's performing like this under the age of 20 in the playoffs is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think too, though, you know, just because I'm backing my team in Vegas, I think it's big that they have played these close games. Because, and I was going to ask this, from recent memory of the NHL playoffs, I don't remember seeing so many blowouts, so many one-sided games. You know, you had a couple like 6 and 7-1s and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I know they're, you know, 1 versus 4 seeds, 2 versus 3. I mean, there's a favorite in them. But there's so many of those games. And all Vegas games, I mean, granted, it might just be because they don't have much offense and they have a solid defense. You know, who knows? I haven't watched them really all year, so I don't know much about them. But their games were, you know, 2-1, 1-0, 1-0. I mean, they played just steady games, so they know how to win those tight games in the playoffs, which I think is big. Sure.
It's huge.
Good point.
But you could also, as a counter argument, you could also argue that once you go up 2-0, it's a lot easier to play those games. Think about the Caps last night. Obviously, yes, they won, but they are in a must-win situation. There was really not that much pressure on Columbus to win that game. Yeah, you want to go up 3-0 mm-hmm. with one more in your barn, but the Knights have had this cushion. Yes, they're on the road for games 3 and 4, but I think it is a little easier to play those games when you are tight and not down.
So speaking of the Caps, did you guys see the Brett Connolly thing?
I missed it. I don't know what that
is. The little girl.
Oh, yeah. That was my funniest thing in sports. That's what it was. That's my funniest thing and best thing in sports. I'm jumping to it, Dan. I'm going to cut you off. That's okay. I'm sorry.
I'm used to it.
I'm completely kidding, because I thought that was hysterical. But the best part of that was that dad played Brett Connolly like a fiddle. He knew exactly, because he gave one puck to his son, the other puck to his son, and then the last one to his daughter, because he knew that's where he was going with the puck.
That wasn't his daughter.
That wasn't?
No, it was some random guy who was giving it to the kids. And so there's two arguments. The two arguments were that either he was playing him like a fiddle and knew that he would like get it to the little girl. But the other was like the feminist argument that he was just like playing favorites and giving it to little boys. I don't know. That was not her father, but he might have been the father to either of the other two kids. I'm not sure. But I read an article that it was like this random – it was just a random girl, and this guy had like caught the puck and not given it to her, and she was like super like pissed off and upset.
Classic Caps.
Yeah, exactly. Then he catches another one and doesn't give it to her again. So like I don't know which one to believe.
I don't know. I don't think it was like him like personally not giving it to a little girl.
It is a Caps fan.
It is a Caps fan, so who knows, but – I mean, he just might have been smart and be like, hey, like, you know, obviously he's trying to give a puck to this girl. Maybe we can get 3 pucks out of it. And he did exactly that. That was my funny thing. It's awesome. Last week, because I thought that was hysterical when I watched that.
When your team can't win a best of 7 series more than once in a year for 2 decades. not that many chances.
With that series, though, going back to the series now, is it going to go 7 and all the Caps can get out of it? Is the Blue Jackets 2 wins? Were they flukes? I know they were both overtime wins. Or one was overtime win, one overtime loss.
All three, yeah. Mm-hmm. All three games went to overtime. I think this series has 7 written all over it, and the Blue Jackets are going to win in Washington.
You think
so? So they proved it.
That's a hot take I've ever heard.
I think they'll lose game four.
Wow.
And I think it's going to be interesting. It just – the Capitals have the talent. That's the thing. They haven't been playing well, and they haven't been playing composed, and the coach needs to get their team under, and Ovi needs to take over the fucking game, which he hasn't done yet.
Yeah.
But I think the Capitals or the Blue Jackets have proved that they could win tough games on the road here in two overtime games. So that's my hot take of the century.
Jeez. I think either way, I think it's going to go seven, but I think the Caps are going to get it at home. Yeah. I think the Caps are too good. And I think even though they won two on the road, the Blue Jackets, you're not going to win three on the road. So I agree. I think the Blue Jackets are going to get game four, but I think they're going to go up 3-1, but I think 5, 6, 7 are going to the Caps. I think they're going to get hot and they're going to make it work.
Yeah, I'd say Caps come out of there too. That's a wicked hot take for me. I definitely think the Capitals come out of there. I think they'll get fucking stomped by the Penguins in the second round, but that's beside the point. Kind of my hot take: Leafs taking down the Bruins.
Wow, that in this series.
Yep.
What's that series at? Is it 2-1?
2-1.
2-1.
Yeah.
Leafs won game three, but Boston is on fire right now.
I know.
They dominated the first two.
Marchand Pasternak, I always pronounce his name wrong, and Bergeron is probably the best line in hockey. But Dan, I do see it. They are beatable. And Toronto does.
They're beatable, and you just got to get Austin Matthews firing. I mean, he scored last game. And everything revolves around that. Like everything in that team revolves around him. And I'm not saying he's the team, but if he gets going, you get everything behind him. And I can see it. I mean, they got to win next game. They have to. And I think they can pull one out in Boston. So we'll see. I know that's a hot take, and you probably are better off with the Blue Jackets. But I see them come out of there again. I think Tampa Bay will beat them in the second round, but.
That's what's so exciting about playoff hockey is that all you have to do to like have the driver's seat in these series is win one road game. That is it. Once you win that road game, you're legitimately in the driver's seat. But just winning game one, Blue Jackets had control of the series, and it's that easy. But and then the Caps come back and win game three. But you'll see. I think it's awesome too. Is like that Canadian hockey. These young guys, Laney, Austin Matthews, the American, but. These guys having these 20 and under players, I think it's just really good for these teams to have that. And these guys can be franchise players for the next 10, literally 15 years. So it's just really cool.
How do you feel about Corey Schneider getting hurt last game? Do you think he's going to come back?
I don't think he is.
I think it depends what happens in game. Well, injury-wise, I don't know too much about it. But with the backup.
They said it was a strain/sprain. I can't see him coming back into the lineup. I mean, I other than they won that game and they might take some momentum for it or from it. And like, if they take him out, they might lose some of that momentum, but
I could see him on the ice. But the thing is, obviously all these guys, like the top, arguably some of the toughest guys in sports are hockey guys. So he's going to want to play. He's going to try to push through it. But at the same time, you have to know, like, okay, I might be useless. I mean, he might hurt them more than help if he can't, you know, skate at even 85%. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's been great. So maybe not take him out of the lineup, but his ice time is going to be like 8 to 12 minutes, if that. You know, it's going to be low.
So, who's your team that's down in the series now, that's going to get past this one and win another?
Ooh.
Which, you know, it's going to happen. Which of your team that's down now is going to make it to their conference final?
Oh, man.
I don't think any of them.
You don't think Toronto has a shot against Tampa?
No.
I don't think so, man. I think Tampa's too strong. I think the best series in the East would be a Tampa Bay-Boston series. I think that would be unbelievable. I just think that Toronto, for whatever reason, for what I've seen, I think that they can pull it out against Boston. I don't think they have a chance against Tampa Bay. But again, I think next round, and which will probably be the case, it'll probably be Tampa Bay and Boston. That series or the Nashville-Winnipeg series are going to be – both of them are just going to be unbelievable. And I mean, that you can watch any of these series and say it's unbelievable. Any game you turn on in the NHL playoffs is going to be fantastic. But again, I could see seven games out of both of those in an absolute fucking grind.
Yeah. If I had to pick one to answer your question, someone who's down and then that will get to the conference finals, I'd go with the Caps. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Caps years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the only one that could be reasonable. I think they, like I said, I do think they'll come back and the Blue Jackets. Who knows? I mean, they're down 2-1, but I think they will. I mean, I guess it's the age-old tale. Like, can they get by the Penguins? They never can. They never have. Like, it knows. But I think if anyone, it's going to be them. I don't see San Jose losing a 3-0 lead on the Ducks. I don't see Winnipeg losing a 3-1 lead on the Wild. I see Nashville not cruising because the Avalanche are good, but I see them getting on. I see Tampa going on. And even if the Leafs do come back and beat Boston, because I do – I don't agree with it, but I do definitely understand that take. I could see it. I don't see either one of them, though, beating Tampa. So
I think the Caps
– I think my only one would be Caps.
I think the Caps fan would tell you that they're due. They get out of this series that this is like Ovi's time to beat Crosby. Hasn't happened yet.
Especially imagine they come out of this series in six. They win four straight.
Hope he's on fire or something
like that. Like, they will be fucking ready for the Penguins. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be exciting, but this Nashville, Winnipeg, this Tampa, Boston potential for those series is going to be like top notch fucking hockey, and it's already there.
Yeah. It's the best time. Flipping sports, I guess, talk about NBA. Not much going on. I mean, that's the thing, like the NBA playoffs, they're exciting, they're good. Like, I got on the TV right now, I'm flipping back and forth between this and the NHL playoffs. The thing is about it is that they have so much time in between. Like, NHL, correct me if I'm wrong, if it's a home game, they have one day off between, right? It's like, if it's a home game and they're staying there, they have two days off between the NBA playoffs. I mean, there's not much. I mean, I know it's tiresome, but I mean, all the games are at, either one game played or two games played.
It takes all the buzz out of it for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the biggest thing to talk about there is, like, the Cavs going down game one. Does that mean anything? Is anyone concerned about them not going far?
I think they're up 10 at halftime right now. They're going to win in five. I'm pretty damn confident of it. The Pacers are good. They have a good team. It's obvious that they could win. Can beat this Cavaliers team. It just, don't piss off LeBron. It was his first ever first round loss in the playoffs, which I still don't think that's true, but it's outrageous.
It's not his first loss. It's his first in the last, like, I think he was 12-0 in first round games in the last three playoffs, something like that. He's lost before in the first round, but I think this might have been his first game loss.
Got it. That's what it was.
I don't think he's ever been down 1-0.
Okay. That's probably what it was. I just, like, think he's still too talented and too good to, like, let this get away from him. I don't know if they're going to the conference final, but I think I'm pretty confident that they're going to just, like, blow the doors off the Pacers now.
Yeah. I mean,
go next.
I think the Pacers will get one more. I think the Cavs will win in six.
LeBron has scored 20 points in the first quarter today.
Jesus. And that's the thing, though. He can just take over. And that's everyone's argument, is like, why doesn't he just take over? And I kind of get it. But at the same time, like, what are you supposed to do when he's 230? Mm-hmm. A 230-pound guy just comes down the lane. I mean, you're gonna lose that fight. He's going to get the call. I mean.
So, and it also looks like the Sixers are not feeling so hot right now with Embiid doubtful for game three. A little bit of the energy drained out of them. And I fully blame Kevin Hart. I don't know if you saw this. but Kevin Hart is talking fucking trash to Dwayne Wade, and another guy's like, you do not talk trash to Dwayne Wade. And I think what's hilarious too is the whole Gabrielle Union thing with him. Something like these like not like submissive weird sexual tweets at Dwayne Wade after they won, and all these people online were like blowing up and trying to guess what the fuck she meant, which was just funny. So don't mess with Dwayne Wade, don't mess with Gabrielle Union. I think my Sixers are on the out.
Really?
I'm so happy to hear that, because all these fucking fans down here. I'm just on the bandwagon.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I had nothing else to say about NBA playoffs. They're so boring. I'm a big Sixers guy. Not a big Sixers guy. I'm not like a fan, but I like them this year, and I hope to see them go pretty far. Other than that, I thought the funniest thing that came from is the couple press conferences from Greg Popovich. Yeah. Just like an asshole, but it's hysterical. I mean, people love it when he's just like a dick to all the reporters and, says all this stuff. He came in, he's like, oh, I don't want to be sponsored by Gatorade. And then Yes, like how they're going to guard Kevin Durant. They're like, yeah, our guy's going to grow. We're going to have him grow 4 inches over the weekend, get faster, and get better at shooting. I'm like, what a, like a stupid answer, but everyone like loves it.
To people, he could say anything or nothing, and people will lose their fucking minds.
Yeah, it's wild.
Unbelievable.
What are you laughing at, Dan?
I just saw from last week, whip it up, throwing the glove as a pitch move.
I feel strongly about that.
Yeah.
It's so true. Anyone I've ever, I'm like picturing someone throw the glove. Sorry to hijack this fucking conversation, but I'm picturing someone throw the glove. It's always like a Moyo, like run and throw it. You know what I mean? Like,
if you're Nolan, Arenado and you're charging the mound and you get a glove thrown at you, if you get the absolute fuck beaten out of you, you still won the fight because you didn't throw the glove. Like, that guy had to go to sleep at night knowing that he threw his fucking glove at somebody in a fight. You bring your fucking fist, maybe your bat, and that's it.
Sorry. I completely agree. No, I agree. Yeah. Sorry. NBA was boring. Yeah.
You can't throw your glove after you already threw the ball. I mean, the start of the fight is getting hit, so you already did it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, yeah.
You can't talk about it.
You played your cards, pitcher.
And I'm telling you, in the locker room, win or loss, whatever's going on after the game, this guy is getting fucking ridiculed by the boys in the shower. Just absolutely torched. You threw your glove, you fucking pussy. All that stuff. Guaranteed it's happening.
Is the move? I have to. All right. So if you're a pitcher, you threw a pitch, you just beamed a guy with a 95 hour fastball. Like, you want him to come and fight you, basically. Like, you're doing your dirty work to like defend whatever happened. If he starts charging at you, is it the power move to wait for him to come to you and you just try to get him on one? Or do you just start busting towards him? Like, throw it back at him. Like, what the fuck? This pitcher's actually coming off the mound. Is that a move or is that just like cause for disaster?
Sorry, I missed that. Picking the glove back up and throwing it. Like,
No. Like, take the glove out of it. You drop the glove. But I'm saying, like, while the batter's running at you, what if you just start running at the batter and just like, try to
I like it. It's a bold fucking move.
I think it'd shock the batter. I think he wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
It would be great. I want to see an ump get involved. But I don't know if that's but like I said last week, we're on pace to have like 65 of these. So who knows?
That's fantastic. Also, I'm just reading now, not to switch back, but the Vegas Golden Knights are now co-favorites to win the Stanley Cup with the National Predators.
That is the definition of sports bias.
Wow. Yeah, Westgate and Vegas, they are now both 4-1 favorites to win the odds or to win the Stanley Cup.
Damn.
What's the best in the East? Is it Pittsburgh or Boston?
It's still it's not Boston, it's still Tampa Bay. Yeah.
Tampa Bay, really?
I think the Caps might be up there, but I don't know. I don't know if they restructured it, like since the Caps lost a couple or not. But last night, when the playoffs started, it was Nashville and Tampa were the odds-on favorites to get to the Cup and win it.
Good shit. 4-1. I'm not taking that.
No, I'm not either.
Not buying it. All right, what we got next?
Next, I think we want to switch to soccer. I mean, we got some matchups coming on, and then.
Austin's been talking to
him. Yeah, I had to put
him
in the soccer chat last week.
He's been holding his own. I will say it's kind of frustrating.
Right, wake me up in 6 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just mute you. I'll mute you for a little while. Look at me. Yeah, just raise your hand. So yeah, we had the Champions League finish. It was a good finish, Dana. You were here to talk about it. We talked about it last week. It was unbelievable. Barcelona losing, crazy. You know, I don't know Madrid. That was kind of a. What did you think of that call? What did you think of the penalty call in 97?
I think it's the right call.
I do too. No, I agree. I hate people always say it's soft, and it was soft, but. The argument is, if it's a penalty, it's a penalty, regardless if it's in the box or in at midfield.
Exactly. So, all right, there'd be no one would be talking about it, and why would they if it was in center field? I think it's a foul wherever it is on the field. Yes. So it comes down to, should there be discretion from the ref that it's literally a tournament deciding call? And I don't think that there should be. I mean, like, the thing is, you say the same thing about, like, let's say, like, an ump calls a strike, whether it ends the World Series or it's the third out in the first inning of the first game, it doesn't fucking matter. It's a strike. You know what I mean? So I don't buy this. I get Gigi Buffon is pissed off, gets a red card, whatever, has to. Is he in there? Does he save it? Probably not. It's Ronaldo, but like, that was a hell of a finish. Do I wish that Juventus went through? Absolutely. I'm crazy. But I think it's the right call. I hope Real Madrid lose to Bayern.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I will say, so that was what I said last week. I think it was a call. I think it was the right call. I think it was kind of harsh. I don't know what Gigi Buffon was saying, and Austin pulled it up, and it wasn't anything bad. It was like ref, you're blind. Like, you should be in the stands.
Sick chirp.
But to get a straight red, yeah, it was a sick chirp, Italian chirp. But to get a straight red, I mean, give him a yellow. And then, like, if he keeps talking or keeps, like, coming at you, because he's a captain too. I mean, if anyone can talk to the ref, it's him. And obviously he wasn't questioning, he was pissed off, but to show someone straight yellow or straight red, like you said, I don't know if he was in there, he saves it, because Ronaldo's, you know, just class when it comes to, you know, PKs. But man,
hey man, he's considered one of the best refs in England, and there's a reason why no English referees are going to the World Cup. Referees in England have just sucked ass, and FIFA knows it, and hopefully UEFA realizes it. But I agree with you. I think it was a terrible, terrible decision. Obviously, in a situation like that, you're going to get some turmoil. I don't think anyone – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't seen the video in a while, but I don't think anyone touched him, right? He got bumped a little bit, but that's kind of to be expected. I think he reacted very harshly.
Whoever is up top, I don't know who it was for Madrid, that he knew that where the defender was, and he knew that if he just put himself between the ball and the defender, he was going to get hit.
Yeah.
I do have a comment for the refs, like with the English refs not going to the World Cup. It's not because they're bad. It's because they didn't pay FIFA enough to get there. Classic.
So that's
how it finished. So we got Bayern, Madrid, Roma, Liverpool. Obviously, I was talking last week. The one draw I didn't want for Bayern was Real, because I honestly think the winner. Yeah, I mean, I think those are the two best teams left. I think the winner of this, you know, semifinal is going to win the cup. I just don't know if Bayern can get through, because my major concern with Bayern, obviously Manuel Neuer is still out. You know, Jotrek is doing a great job. He's a great goalkeeper. And then the other thing, though, is Arturo Vidal is out for the season, and he's just a stud in the midfield. So I don't think that Bayern has enough answers for Real, for Real's strikers in midfield. I think they're just too strong.
It's gonna be a good one. It really depends on which teams
you know
come
who
out.
Plays at home first.
You know what I mean?
Like, I think Bayern plays at home.
I don't. I have it up here.
Yeah,
it's
so
Bayern,
that
Bayern
doesn't
home.
Help either. Because I mean, if you know Real gets one on the road, even if they win the first leg 1-0, Real does. That's so tough to come back. You know, to go to Madrid and have to score two is just a very difficult task.
But hey, Juventus went to Madrid and scored three. So you never know. I agree with you. It's an uphill battle if you lose. But man, if they could get a victory at home, Juventus show that they're vulnerable at home. Madrid are so. Yeah, it's going to be a great series. It's going to be a great series, and I think I do agree with you that that's the final for me. Roma has really surprised me in the last. The last game of that the last leg there. Pulling that victory out, I did not see that. I mean, same with Liverpool, except I don't know. I just can't see an English team in the final, to be honest.
I think Liverpool has been playing great in the Champions League, and I think that's what they've been focusing on. But I agree. I just don't think that they're. I think they're going to win. I think Liverpool is the better team of Roma, and obviously Roma's kept keep surprising us. But I think it's going to be a Liverpool Madrid final. My heart wants to tell me to say Liverpool Bayern, but. It's just Madrid's just too good of a – they're just a stud team this year. They just got all the pieces, it seems like. And they have for a while. I mean, I saw like a ridiculous stat that this is like Ronaldo, like Madrid's sixth or eighth straight Champions League semifinal.
Damn.
Like they just go every year with them. It's absolutely unreal. So
I got a bit of a change. We're still on soccer, but talking about United. United goes, Austin, you might have an input here. United goes, beat City, which I don't think I've talked to you guys since that happened, but beat City, prevents City from winning the league title, but then goes home and plays the worst team in the league, and then because they lost that, yeah, City wins the title. How pathetic is that?
That's so bad.
And especially after how great the City United game was.
Exactly. That's a Mets, and they go and fucking lay an egg. Seriously. But the funny part about it was for me is the manager then came out and said he's gonna bench some of the players that lost that game. Like, what does that even mean? So he benched players to play the game today. Like, what does that do for anyone involved? Like, you're playing a nonsensical game that okay, they sealed second place, but they're gonna do that anyway. And like, the game doesn't matter whatsoever. The season's over.
Why does it matter?
Like, who cares? I don't know. I didn't think. I mean, maybe you guys have another input, but I didn't think that was. I don't know if like the right move is the right terminology, but I thought that was a stupid move. I thought it wasn't necessary. I thought it was he was trying to show power that he didn't necessarily need to do. I don't think there was any need to do anything like that.
That's fair. Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, he could just be saying that. But all along, he wanted to bench those guys just to get the younger guys a shot to see what he's got coming up next year, I guess. Could be just a cover and just try to, you know, say you're benching him to try to motivate. You know, who knows? Jose Mourinho is kind of crazy.
He is fucking nuts. So, anyway.
Cool.
That's all I got for soccer. I'm happy that MLS is back. Atlanta United is fucking awesome.
That stadium's great. I watched them a couple weeks ago. Who they play? They played LA. I think LAFC. And that stadium was rocking. That was a great game. I think it ended 2-2, 2-2 draw. But an absolute great game to watch. And MLS is back. I mean, MLS, when we were like, even college, but especially when we were in high school, I mean, it was just kind of a sad league. No one really watched it. No real good players. But they've just put such a focus on like having like young American talent come in, and then they get, you know, big names. I mean, even look at Bradley, like Wright Phillips, you know, he's 32, 33, and he's been in the league for what, probably 8 years now. And he was a stud back in England. And obviously he came over, you know, once he wasn't with Man City anymore, but he's been great here and he's still a very good player. So it's good to see, you know, MLS like doing well, even though Toronto, my boy Alex Bono in Toronto are in dead last.
The Baldwin's
right now.
The boy.
Baldwin's really,
yeah. Didn't they win the title?
Yeah, they won last year.
Classic.
Eber was under goal, by the way.
Yeah. Dan, we talked about like his full page ad too. So yeah, he's living up to it. Absolutely.
He is.
Gosh.
Yep.
All right. The only other thing I was thinking, we have the NFL schedule getting released tomorrow. So, I mean, everyone knows who they're playing, so the schedule will kind of be nice. But we have the draft coming up next week. The only thing I was kind of wondering, all these quarterbacks are taking over the draft talk. You know, you got five potentially going in the first round, definitely four, maybe six if Mason Rudolph like squeaks in there at the end of the first round. What quarterback are you guys going all in on? 5 years down the road, this quarterback's going to be, you know, still relevant in the league. He's going to be the best quarterback of the draft class. Who you got?
I keep firing off the hot takes like it's no one's business, and I'm all fucking in on Baker Mayfield. I think these top three guys will be no names in 5 years. I'm serious. He has the biggest upside, and when I look at all of these names, he's the only one that I'm really wowed by. So I think Darnold's the next Mark Sanchez. I think Josh Allen's way overhyped. Who the fuck knows with Rosen, but I'm all in on Baker. It's my answer.
Ooh. Lamar Jackson. I don't know, man. He reminds me of Michael Vick. He'd be exciting. I don't know whether he's obviously not the thrower that the NFL needs. Like, I agree with you. Baker Mayfield is probably the best quarterback. He just, like you said, he has that it factor. He has that, he's going to take over a team somewhere. He's going to, if he gets franchised, he could literally be the Eli Manning of another team, and just sit on a team and make him good, because he's a leader, literally born to be a leader, and he's a good quarterback. I don't know. I like Lamar Jackson. He's exciting to watch. I don't know if he has it for the NFL.
I get that. I'm on the Baker Mayfield train too. I have for a little while. I think I've said it a couple of times on this podcast. You know, I'm just in on it. I think he's got some good talent. I mean, he's not the most talented quarterback of the group. Natural talent, natural ability. But I mean, to see him go from like Texas, walk on at Texas Tech, and then transfer to Oklahoma and start Oklahoma and lead him to a great couple seasons. And yeah, he's a kind of a hot case, but that's just his drive and competitiveness. And I think that goes a long way in the NFL. I don't think it goes all the way. I think he's got a lot to learn. He's got to, you know, kind of adapt to, you know, new surroundings. But I like him the best. I kind of agree. I think Josh Rosen's like a head case. I think he's too much of a, you know, I think he's just too much about the fame than he is about actually playing. I think Sam Darnold to like Mark Sanchez is a great comparison. I see him maybe as a Bradford as well, who has a halfway decent career. People know who he is, but then he just kind of, you know, is a third string quarterback for a couple of years now. And Josh Allen, I think, is good. I mean, he's kind of jumped onto the top of the list for a lot of these, you know, draft experts, quote unquote, you know, being the number one pick or being the best quarterback now out there. So I'd be interested to see who the Browns take, because they're obviously going to take one of them with the first pick. But it's such a pressure, too, to be that first pick. Like, you know, you're the number one pick in the draft. You're supposed to be, like, you know, the next big
thing. And especially when it's Cleveland, too. Because it's not only you're the first pick, it's like, okay, are you going to turn the franchise around?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. You'll be expected basically to start this year. And I don't know if they will. I mean, the new kind of vibe is to give all these guys a year to grow and then start them. But look at Carson Wentz. Yeah, he had a tough first year, but he's there now because he played all of the first year.
Should be interesting.
And then, I mean, you look at Jared Goff sat most of the first year. So technically, if Jared Goff sat most of the first year, could he have been rookie of the year?
Well, they're having that argument with what's his name?
That's a hot take. That's a hot take, just so you know. Yeah, no, that's why I made it. It was supposed to be a joke. It clearly did not land. Cool. Dan, you have anything on that? All right, cool.
No. Thanks for checking, though. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, all right. So we can go. We'll finish up here. This is a good length podcast today. A couple recordings. We're about to record to start. So hot start. You guys got – Dan, I'm sorry I stole one of your funniest things. You guys got, you know, best thing in sports, funniest thing in sports from last week.
I got one. I can let Danny think. Do you guys hear about the two kids who caught the home run balls that switched them?
Yeah,
I think that's my best and worst thing in sports. Best thing in sports, because it's pretty fucking cool. Rockies fan catches the Nationals ball. Nationals fan catches the Rockies ball. Switch, fist bump at the end. Worst thing in sports is the guy that grabbed the ball first. He should be taking both balls and running. So I'd say it's the best and worst thing. I think it's cool. I don't know if they orchestrated that or it was egged on by parents or older people, but it was cool to see. Once you get the second ball in your hand, you're fucking running.
Yeah.
Worst thing in sports, true. Not even sports, I'm just so pissed about it. Sorry, is the yodeling kid went to Coachella. So.
Yeah, Dan, you have to listen to last week's podcast. I started off with him. It was fire.
Oh, God.
It was great.
Oh, man. How do I access the old podcast, by the way? Give us a – I even see that the five-minute shit talk Dan Moore. Always, damn it, I just saw this.
Whenever you're not there, start it off. Yeah, I'll upload. I haven't uploaded last week, so all the other ones are uploaded. So I'm going to try to upload.
What is uploaded?
It's on a site. It's called like Podmatic. Porn and then up. From there, I got Pornhub. And then there, I got to put them on. I can put them on iTunes. So they're on iTunes. And then I still haven't applied or submitted to get on Spotify, but I'll do that too. And they'll be on Spotify and iTunes. So by the end of the week, they all will be. And I'll send you guys the link.
Good shit.
So my, I'll do mine. My funniest thing in sports was the puck. I thought that was just hysterical, you know, and who knows what the actual story is, but it was great. My best thing in sports was, you know, obviously all the people who ran the Boston Marathon 5 years since the bombing, but then also just terrible conditions. So we had like the first American win in something like 30 years or something like that, which is cool. But then also, I don't know if you guys saw at midnight, a determined leukemia cancer survivor, she finished the marathon, which I thought was awesome, you know, to, you know, have her and her husband cross the line. Obviously it was well over, but the conditions were so bad. She had to, you know, pause and, you know, couldn't finish, and then, you know, went back and finished from where she was to the finish line at midnight. So really cool story there. I thought that was really,
yeah, that's awesome.
Really cool.
Awesome. I think
we all do.
Best thing in sports is, boys, I'm coming out of retirement for broomball tonight.
I think the best thing in sports, like, what, tell the podcast your broomball name.
Big Broomballer Brand.
Definitely a lot of relevance.
Yeah.
So I didn't do it. I'm proud of the name because I think it's fucking hilarious. But Dan Henney. Oh, worst thing in sports. Worst thing in sports. I got to make sure that he's not here. Okay. I went to go tell Diego that I'm moving out today or yesterday. He goes, yeah, I know. Dan Henney already told me.
That's great.
So my buddy told him already, and I was like stressing the fuck out to tell him. Anyway, that was the worst thing.
Don't let him play goalie because he's going to play one in five hole now.
No, we got girls in goal.
How about that?
We made a Tinder, and we said not looking for a relationship, just a broomball partner. Yes.
That's fantastic.
No, but why don't we – time out. Why don't we fucking make a dating site for broomball players?
Wow.
Shit, don't publish this. We'll take this off.
Suck my broomball.
Yeah, this is all fine. We'll come back next year with a full plan and we'll pitch it.
Yeah.
Guys, we shouldn't have put – you got to cut that out. You got to cut that out. Someone's going to steal the idea.
We'll just bleep that. I won't cut it out. It'll just be like, oh, we should bleep. Oh, that's a great idea. Great idea.
Did you fucking imagine that shit in like Saskatchewan or something like
that?
Yeah,
that works.
That would kill in the Western Canadian provinces, though. Seriously, everyone's playing broomball. Everyone's looking
that's
for a
racist. Partner. You just shit on all of our Western Canadian listeners, man.
It's our biggest demographic, right? I don't know if they played broomball as much in Ontario. I don't know.
No, they play hockey. I think they just play hockey because they all can. We play broomball because we can't play
hockey.
Is that
how it goes?
I think so.
Shit.
Maybe.
Not confirmed.
There's a good chance.
But we're pretty fucking good at broomball, so I guess that's all that matters.
Broomball, how long till it's in the Olympics?
If fucking curling's in the Olympics, this thing's going to be in there in the next 20 years. I don't fucking
know. When's the next Olympics?
All right, boys. Well, I think that's how we wrap it up today.
Yes.
Good shit. Thanks for talking, boys.